7. The Temple, City of Zion, the Temple Lands.
Very well, Elaine, Zomsen Trenaire's voice showed rather more irritation than he normally permitted it to, as Robert Ducairne seated himself at the council table. We're all here now. Now can you tell us what this is all about?
Elaine Maguire might not have been Trenaire's intellectual equal, but he had no difficulty recognizing the asperity in the Chancellor's tone, and his lips tightened briefly. Then he turned his head to look directly at Trenaire.
I've just received additional dispatches about the situation in the Gulf of Dollar, Zomsen.
He permitted a trace of deliberate patience to color his own tone.
I thought you might be interested in what the Duke of Fern has to say about them. I assure you they made interesting reading. But of course, if you're too pressed for time...
One would have had to look carefully to notice the slightly heightened color in Trenaire's cheeks, Ducairne noted. Even that, however, was a revelation of far more anger than he would ever have permitted himself to feel for such a childish provocation under normal circumstances. Then again, these circumstances were anything but normal, weren't they?
Of course, we have time to listen to any information that seems pertinent and important, Elaine, the church's treasurer heard his own voice saying.
Both of the other vicars looked at him, and he smiled ever so faintly.
I'm sure you wouldn't have requested a meeting of all four of us unless you thought the dispatches you've received are both of those things, he continued. On the other hand, all of us have sufficiently pressing commitments on our time to make us all a bit more irritable than God would probably prefer.
Maguire gazed at him for another second or two, then nodded, and Trenaire's momentary anger seemed to fade.
Thank you, Robert, the Chancellor said. As always, you make a very valid point, Elaine.
Trenaire moved his gaze back to Maguire.
If I sounded overly brisk, I apologize. Robert is right. We do all have far too many things which require our immediate attention, but that doesn't excuse any lack of courtesy on my part.
Don't worry about it, Maguire half-chuckled wryly.
To be honest, I've bitten off a few heads of my own in the last couple of months. It's hard to be patient when so many things are going wrong at once.
Then it's our job as God's stewards to make sure they go the right way again, Jaspar Clinton said.
As usual, the Grand Inquisitor didn't seem particularly concerned with pouring any oil on troubled waters.
Which, I assume, your request for a meeting has something to do with?
You might say that.
Maguire sat back in his comfortable chair.
Or you might say it has to do with identifying something else that's gone wrong.
Then tell us about it, Ducairne said,
before Clinton could open his mouth again.
I've had copies prepared for all of you, of course, Maguire said, indicating the sheafs of notes lying on his companion's blotters. These arrived by messenger Wyvern, not via the semaphore, so there's considerably more detail. And it's the details that concern me the most, especially in conjunction with what we're hearing from other sources. Basically, the situation is even worse than we'd originally thought. The Carizians are operating privateers on both coasts of Howard now, as well as the east coast of Haven, as far north as the Passage of Storms. There must be hundreds of them, and it seems as if every one of them has the new design artillery. So, even though they may technically be calling themselves privateers, what they really are is cruisers of the Carizian Navy. And, not to put too fine a point on it, they're wreaking havoc.
Ducairne frowned slightly. He'd found immense comfort in his renewed personal faith over the past months, which had given him a certain serenity in the face of all the calamities God seemed to be permitting to afflict his church. Some of the other vicars, those who weren't clamoring for, or the far more numerous vicars who wished they had the courage to clamor for, the Group of Four's dismantlement, appeared to be withdrawing into a sort of insulated cocoon, where they could pretend their world wasn't in a state of violent upheaval. De Cairn's renewed reading of the writ, however, had actually restored him to a far stronger awareness of his responsibility to meet those violent upheavals head-on. And of the entire group of four, he, as the church's chief financial officer, was undoubtedly the best aware of the implications of the massive onslaught Carus had launched upon the commercial traffic of its enemies. Ultimately, he supposed, it could be argued that Carus was playing a dangerous game by setting the example of such energetic privateering. After all, the Carisian economy was completely dependent upon its own shipping. Not only was that a major potential weakness, but the sheer value of the Carisian carrying trade promised huge profits for anyone who managed to raid it successfully as well, and it was unlikely that the kingdom's enemies would remain blind to those minor facts forever. On the other hand, very few of the mainland realms had anything like the supply of trained seamen Carus did, which meant simply crewing enough privateers would be difficult, especially with the competition of the church's new naval buildup drawing on that same limited pool of sailors.